When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Thursday morning. Well, good morning to you, but not a good Sixers morning. They, you know, it's another game. It's another loss. It's another game. It's another injury. So, look, we'll be all over the Sixers thing today. A lot on the Eagles as well. Of course, they're gearing up for the Rams. 8-2 Birds. How about it? How about Corey Clement in studio with us today? Corey Clement, 8 o'clock hour. We have never had him on the show. And looking forward to, you know, discussing the Super Bowl with him and his, really, if you think about it, remarkable Eagles career. Undrafted free agent to Super Bowl star and massive fan favorite. So Corey Clement later today. Jason Kelce later today as well. All of it with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, Johnny.
Walt Disney was afraid of mice.
What? That is hilarious. Well, that is unbelievably ironic.
Yeah.
It's a little ironic.
In a video of Disney drawing Mickey Mouse, you can hear him. You can see him also saying everyone is afraid of a mouse, including myself. So he's on record.
All right. I mean, look, I don't think
he was fearful. No one, he thought no they were sympathetic. Well, what do you mean no one likes a mouse? People have mice as pets.
Yeah, dude. Are you serious?
Or they're weird.
What do you mean they're
Who
weird?
Who wants to have a mouse as a pet?
I don't know.
Say dork. That's a weirdo.
Not wow. Even a dork. You don't what? Have any pets. You're not allowed to say
that. But I mean, I get the dog thing. I want to have a mouse as a pet. Get a life.
Sure. They're little and cute, man.
Yeah. People keep hamsters.
Yeah, hamsters, gerbils.
To a mouse.
It's like
people
very similar
rats.
Stuff.
Okay, well, not the same thing.
The rats less so. But
not same thing. Yeah,
I think rats are amazing.
Rats
pets.
Are a disaster.
Amazing.
Can I tell
pets,
you this, guys? A rat.
They're so smart. You know that, don't you?
I don't know. No.
Rats are incredibly smart.
Okay. So here's the deal.
That's why you have to keep them in such. You have to keep them in great enclosures because they're inquisitive. They'll figure a way out and they'll find their way right next to your pillow. They'll be sleeping next to you.
Will the Sixers find a way out, John? All right, let's tackle this here. So, a couple things. First off, let's just address quickly last night's game, but then get to the big topic, which obviously is what to do with Joel Embiid. All right, that's the big. I mean, really, it's the biggest topic right now in Philadelphia sports. It really is. I mean, the Eagles will come back center stage this weekend, as they should, and they will, and it's going to be the Eagles over the next 2.5 months, depending on how long they go. But as we sit here this morning. The biggest topic in Philadelphia sports, and it has been, it feels like, for about 48 hours, is what in, like, the hell should the Philadelphia 76ers do with Joel Embiid? And obviously, you guys know what I'm getting at. To trade him or not, to try to build around him still or not. Put another way, are you in or are you out on Joel Embiid? Let us know at 215-592-9494. Now, John, just addressing last night quickly, and then we'll get really to the bigger picture. You know, he played better, clearly. They lost again. Yeah. Paul George got injured. You know, they got slightly more than 5 minutes of Maxi Embiid and Paul George together, which really means it doesn't even count. Really, it doesn't count. I mean, you know, because you and I are going to have a count on how many games they play together. Last night really doesn't even count as one because, you know, Maxi barely played in the first half and then Paul George got injured. Like, last night doesn't count as a game together.
It was the first time all season we're going to see the big three. And what was that?
Doesn't count.
The little three.
Didn't it feel like there was this grand plan and everyone was sort of like, wink, wink, hey, it'll all be okay. Don't you guys worry. And then...
And by the way, 2-12.
That, yeah. Oh, and then it sort of catches up with you, and then it's like, man, we're 2-12. Yeah. 2-what? Oh, but now, right. last night, it really did. There was a moment at the end of that game where it felt like, as Joel is bending over trying to catch his breath at the end of the game,
I noticed the look on his
face like, wow, this got away. Didn't this get away? I could not have imagined this getting to this point because I thought we were going to put it all together, us, the big three, and we were going to figure out a way to, on this happy reunion night of the big three, we were going to come out here and play some good basketball, even though I wasn't always trying my hardest. I did try harder this time than I did the last time.
Yeah, he did.
And I tried harder this time than I did the time before that. You realize that the Sixers, and this is courtesy of Elliot, the Sixers are now 0-4 in games that Joel played this year. I mean, just tack that on as an addendum to the 2-12.
So 2-8 without him, 0-4 with him. Yeah.
With Joel Embiid.
All right, so here's the deal today. I really want to hear from you. We're going to get to a lot of Eagles, again, including Corey Clement and Jason Kelce today and some of the notable pieces of audio in the last few days related to the Eagles. But the big thing is what to do with Joel. And we'll turn to you, Heavy, today on the phone lines at 215-592-9494 for what you think the answer should be and what you think the answer will be. Now, let me just put this disclaimer out there at the start of the show. If you don't know, our understanding of it is that he actually cannot be traded during the season related to the timing of when he signed that deal and that there's a six-month NBA rule that you can't be traded thereafter, and that 6 months occurs after the NBA trade deadline this, you know, late winter, early spring, whatever the exact date is. So bottom line is it looks like he's their guy for this season. Whether you like it or not, that is our sense of it as we sit here this morning. Now, it doesn't really fundamentally change the nature of the conversation, which is, do you think the Sixers should be in or out on Embiid? Now, obviously, it removes the immediacy of being able to trade him, you know, this week if you're inclined. But you guys get the drill. I mean, big picture is still big picture. Do you believe in trying to build with him or not is really the question.
He turned on his teammates last night.
In what sense? He showed us
that he turned on his teammates. I mean, it feels like it's the beginning of the end. Last night, Joel, after the game, basically saying, you know, just don't worry, put it all on me. You know, the passive-aggressive thing, everything's my fault, put it all on me. You know, they're teaming up on me, they're ganging up on me, it's all on me.
So, I don't think he's turning on his
teammates. I thought it was so childish.
I don't think he's turning on his teammates when he makes those comments. I think he's turning on the fans. Okay. When he makes those comments, I think that's... Now, I don't think he's throwing Tyrese under the...
I don't understand why you stop there. I feel like he's excluding everyone. He's holding himself above and separate.
Well, he is, and I'm not saying that's good. I mean, look, it is... There is a truism to it. He is the main guy. He's the focal point. I think when he goes passive-aggressive in that regard, because I agree with you, John, but my thing is I don't think he's dogging Tyrese Maxey. I think he's saying to the fans, screw you guys. You know, you guys expect too much. And by the way, I think he's wrong. Okay, let me be clear. I think he's wrong. But I think that's him lashing out at fans rather than I'm lashing out at Andre Drummond as my backup center. That's just my sense of it. Mm-hmm. Look, let me tell you where I'm at on Embiid. I'm not out. I'm not out on Joel Embiid. And I know that at this point, that is probably a minority opinion, at least according to our poll yesterday it is. You know, we had a poll question yesterday. Do you think the Sixers should trade Embiid? Kind of like begin the process of trading Embiid, and 64% said yes. So 36 were of the mindset no, 64 said yes yesterday. Here's why I'm not out on Embiid. And let me be clear, I'm not happy with him, and I'm not happy with the situation overall at all. I'm not. Of course not. But I do want to see these guys play together, namely Embiid, Maxey, and Paul George, to see what I got, to give it a shot. I'm not saying the Sixers are very likely to win a title. They are not. Not very likely to win a title with him. I know this for damn sure. They got no shot without him. Zero. And they will probably have a 0% chance for a good couple years because that's just the nature of how it goes in the NBA. So I would rather take a 3% swing at it than a 0% swing at it over the next couple years.
Geez.
That's just me.
Over the next couple years. Yeah. See, to me at this point, that is too emotionally exhausting. That concept of having to endure this joke for any length of time.
I mean,
really, this season is going to be such a slog, knowing that this is that we got to deal with a 30-year-old child.
If you could trade him now,
tantrums.
If you could trade him right now, which you can't, but like just conceptually, if you could trade him for a couple first-round draft picks and pick swaps, you would do it today if you could, John.
Yeah, I do because I think it's going to erode farther down the line. I think it can only get worse. Right, right now, he was trying. He was trying last night.
He did play better. You gotta acknowledge that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He put all the effort out there last night, and he expected that to lead to a win. And then you know what happened? When all the chips are on the table, and he hadn't really been playing too much, you know, previously to prior to last night, he ended up with what was it? About a minute left.
Well, he turned the ball
it's,
over.
It's 4 point. It's yeah. a 4 point game, and he throws the ball to nowhere.
Well, he expected
because he's a little bit rusty.
Nah,
he's a little bit out of sync.
You
got to
remember
teammates.
These guys haven't played together. I forget which player it was. There was two different guys over there. I think he thought one of them was going to be in the corner
for an
open three. You
of
know?
Course, and he threw the ball away. He turned it over. That was the closest we got night.
It
really would have been a turning point, a turning moment of the game.
They had a shot.
And he totally blew it.
It's about 35 seconds left. They had a shot either for him to go to the basket or a corner three, and it got totally
blown. Your teammates are holding meetings now because of you, and then you didn't take it seriously enough. You took it seriously, not seriously enough. I need to see like more growth and development from a 30-year-old.
So you're out.
I am as close to out as you can be without being out for certain and with the door locked.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
But the door's a little bit open. Yeah, look at you, John Ritchie.
I guess the key can be found.
Right. Well, look, we'll ask you where you stand on Joel.
You're not going to ask me, Joe?
I am going to ask you. I am. In due time. 215-592-9494. All right, in or out on Embiid? Where you stand, what you think? I do believe if you turn the page, it's a 5 to 7 year rebuild. I really believe that. So I'm just not in the mood for that. But I recognize with him here, you're not likely to win it. It's a conundrum. What to do? Let us know. It is really amazing, 2-12. It's almost impossible to be this bad.
Have they ever had this bad start? I mean, outside of like Process, were they 0-10 one year?
Process, they were 0-17.
0-17, yeah. Outside of that, I don't remember them ever starting this bad.
I'd have to look up the 94, 95, 96. I don't know.
It's difficult to do this poorly.
I'm aware.
No one else in basketball has.
Right. To just try to like flip a coin and try to be wrong. Or, you know, just anything. Just try to do something.
And they lost.
And be bad at it and fail.
It's Memphis without Ja.
They lost to a team that should have been a Doc Rivers scheduled loss.
Yeah. Six players.
Seriously,
Joe.
Six players out there, back-to-back, the whole thing.
I know.
That's a scheduled loss.
Yeah.
That is a scheduled loss.
For the Grizzlies.
For the
That's
Grizzlies.
What I mean.
Yeah. So here's the deal. In or out on Joel Embiid, where do you stand? 215-592-9494. Will in Brookhaven kicks us off. Will, good morning.
Hey, it's Basketball Will. How you doing? Good morning, guys.
Basketball Will. How are you?
Hi, Basketball Will.
Hey, John and Richie. John,
what's
Richie.
Up?
I just want to say, if y'all give me 2 points and let me speak my mind, I love basketball. I grew up playing basketball in rec leagues, and I mean, I didn't play professionally, but I can see the tea leaves. I would still do the deal. I would still bring in Paul George because, I mean, Daryl Morey, like, you had the opportunity to bring in Paul George, but I still would run it back. I still want to see these guys through, but their body's breaking down. You can tell that they're past their prime. I mean, I can see it. I mean, I still want to see it.
Well, no question with Paul George. No question.
You can see they're Embiid limping. And, I mean, these guys, I love them, but they're past their prime. I wish we could have had them earlier in their careers, but it would have never happened. But I will still do the deal because you couldn't bring Tobias Harris back stealing money and Ben Simmons stealing, you know, not want to do what he want to do. Like, he has all the talent, but he was just greedy.
Basketball, Will, what is going on? Like, last night, Paul George once again re-hyperextended the knee.
Right.
I think it's the same knee that
same
he did before.
It is.
This is reminiscent. I can only think, and I might be way off here. This is a crazy analogy. Think of the little giraffes when they first get born on the plains, and they have to learn to run. They have to learn to run, or else they're going to get eaten by a lion. And they're trying to get those legs like figured out, and they're like flopping all over the place. Blah 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 blah. Like that feels like Paul George's knees right now, time he's out there.
So I'll say this. That is a crazy analogy. However, I think the better analogy would be old man Elton Brand when he got here, old man Jason Peters when he stayed here. Like at a certain point, you just get declining
hyper
from your body.
Extends yeah, just, the same knee, just yeah. going out there and playing, and the knee hyperextends. Yeah. It really is like the giraffe baby. Yeah. Come on, yeah. anyway, giraffe we'll, baby knees.
Will, go ahead because it's a bad situation.
I just said it. They're past their prime. I hate to say it. I mean, I still would have made the trade. So you couldn't run it back with Tobias Harris. These guys are past their prime.
Will, and, I'm going to ask you a question. Give me a yes-no answer. Are you in or out on Joel Embiid?
I'm in. I said I'm in. I want to see these guys through. And right now, if I can just say one more thing.
Sure.
If we get the 20 losses before we get the double-digit wins, I mean, you might just try to go after Cooper Flagg and all these other young guys because we need youth. We need
can't have it both ways. You're talking
about Joel and Cooper Flagg.
Flagg, McCain, and Maxey, that's a championship roster.
Joel.
But, Will, you're talking out of both sides.
I'm trading Joel, man.
All right. Will's got every side of everything going there. I mean, he's like, I'm in on Embiid, but what is he saying?
Cooper Flagg, McCain, and Maxey. Like, let's go.
Oh, yes.
You know, I am starting to wonder. I'm going to be the first person to say this. This is going to put me in bad person territory. How good really is McCain when they lose every game? Like, it reminds me a little bit of the Michael Carter Williams thing. Like, he's putting up big numbers because there's a lot of opportunity.
All right.
But is he actually good? Good.
I'm not saying he's not,
but I'm just saying I wonder.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
And it's fine to wonder. He's brand new. We've seen nothing. He really is a blank canvas.
Just something I want to put.
He's clearly the next Steph Curry. What are we talking about?
And Michael Carter Williams was the next what, James? He was next Magic
Jason
Johnson.
Kidd. Wasn't it Jason Kidd? Yeah.
It's very encouraging what we've seen.
He was out of the league in about 5 years. He literally was out of the league. Hey, we got a shot for you today to win a cool prize, and that's a pair of tickets to see Post Malone at Citizens Bank Park in May 24th of 2025. Tickets on sale coming up on the 26th of this month. So in 5 days at 12 noon, you can win tickets to purchase tickets to see Post Malone through Ticketmaster.com. But you can win them here today, and we've got a double banger from the past to spur a conversation. So the great movie Rocky came out on this date back in obviously 1976, and amongst the many notable features, one is one of the great female characters ever in a sports movie, and that's Adrian. She's timid in Rocky I. She's tough thereafter. She's instrumental. She's critical for Rocky in every which way. Adrian's a great character. And, John, a happy birthday has to go out this morning. Now we're flipping it over to real life, to Goldie Hawn, who, of course, from a sports movie standpoint, most notable for her would be in Wildcats in the mid-1980s, a young Wesley Snipes, a young Woody Harrelson. But Goldie Hawn, as the star of that movie and the coach of that football team, was awesome. By the way, Goldie Hawn, 79 years old today.
Wow.
79 for Goldie Hawn.
Happy birthday.
So here's the deal. We ask you today, in honor of Adrian from Rocky and Goldie Hawn's character in Wildcats, what's the best female character ever in a sports movie? All the sports movies. And normally you have more male characters in sports movies than females, but you have certainly your share of gals. John, I don't know if you're going Mount Rushmore or not, but this goes for everyone. 215-592-9494. The best female character ever in a sports movie, John Ritchie, is who?
This is not a Mount Rushmore, and I'm pretty sure you have not seen this movie, okay. Dodgeball, an underdog story. But Kate Veach, I think that's how you say her last name. Catherine Veach. She's a player. She's the woman player on the dodgeball team, the average Joes who end up, I don't want to give it away.
Fair enough.
You haven't seen it.
Fair enough.
But she's a spectacular dodgeball
player. Of course he hasn't. I don't do that nonsense.
It's a great movie.
You should check it out.
No, I don't play nonsense.
I don't think you'll like it.
Yeah, I won't.
Knowing you, he doesn't have fun with stuff like that.
No, I don't. I don't at all.
It's played by Christine Taylor, Ben Stiller's wife in real life.
Yeah,
are
Chris
they back
Taylor.
Together?
Yes, they are.
Christine Taylor. All right. Seltzer, give me an answer here. And by the way, I have one in mind that I think maybe is a winning answer, but we'll see if people drive at it. Best female character in a sports movie, James, who are you thinking?
So I'm not going to take him out Rushmore. I want to see where this goes.
Yep.
I'm going to give a shout out to a sports movie. I don't know if you two have seen it. I'm going to guess Rhea's seen it. I'm not sure, though.
Okay.
Kate Mosley and The Cutting Edge. The Cutting Edge is a
great movie.
It's the ice skating, figure skating movie.
Yeah. Yep.
That movie is awesome. People should watch it. Great movie, The Cutting Edge.
Okay, Rhea, what do you got for a female character in a movie? Sports.
People will think that she's not, like, because of the movie, there's so many great female characters in it, but she gave us one of the greatest lines that we always use, Evelyn in A League of Their Own. There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, no crying.
I love Evelyn.
Yeah, it's a big line. It really is. And obviously that movie's got some notable characters. Look, give us a big-time answer. Female character in a sports movie, 215-592-9494. I got to do it just because I thought it was such a bad movie. I got to rip her off the board so she can't win. It's that freaking female boxer in that Million Dollar Baby movie. I hated that movie so much.
Hold on. You're ripping her off the board.
I just want to make sure she doesn't win. Today, so I'm saying whatever her name was, that, Hillary Swank.
She won Academy Awards.
Fine, great actress.
I wouldn't have voted for her.
She won an Academy Award for that movie.
She won for that.
She won two.
For that movie.
She won two of them.
Yeah, I think Boys Don't Cry.
That's what I thought.
You're saying you want. You want to penalize her for this movie.
Correct.
She won an Academy Award for it.
I'm looking out for the audience to make sure she doesn't win in 3 hours, so I'm saying she's now ineligible.
I saw the movie, and I thought it was great.
She was a disaster. It was a disaster.
What are you talking about?
Hated that movie.
How old were you when you saw this movie?
28. Hated that movie. Give us a big-time answer. 215-592-9494. Well, this tremendous song was not said 2 days ago when we were trying to assess the best song of all time, but quite a number of answers came in on our program on Tuesday. So much so that we said, all right, we're going to need a poll to let the audience decide which of those said was the best song of all time. Now, this is for Creed tickets from Tuesday's show. John, we've broken it down into two different polls, and we'll release one of them right now. With our 6 a.m. hour Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, here's the poll question. Which of these songs is the best? Here are three that were said by the audience on Tuesday. Gimme Shelter, Stairway to Heaven, We Are the World. That could be like a finalist.
Holy cow.
And that's a semifinalist.
The thing is, all six are finalists. That's the thing. They're all great. Like, I didn't know how to split them up
into three.
That's a big groupie.
This is impossible to choose.
Gimme Shelter, Stairway, We Are the World.
Well, how did you know? I don't think this is fair.
John, Billie Jean wasn't even said.
Yeah, and the other three are three bangers, too.
Yeah. So, John, you're going to have to decide. Look, we will tell everyone you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. You got about an hour to get your vote in. We'll release the voting at the near the end of next hour. So break it down however you see fit. Gimme Shelter, Stairway, We Are the World. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Of course, if you want to comment on the phone lines of which of those three is the best, please do, because that is a tough thing to assess. Let's get to Doug in Lancaster. We're going to get something that Nick Sirianni said recently to us. Doug, good morning, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy Thanksgiving.
To you, too.
Happy Thanksgiving, Doug.
Guys, I am out on Joel Embiid. And I'm going to go a step further. I'm actually getting pretty close to being out on the Sixers as a whole. I think we've got a culture issue in that locker room.
Well, they do.
I sure get that. Yeah. And we know that it stems from him being, just the golden do anything you ever want at any time, whenever it suits you, and that really has caught up with them.
It just seems like season after season, there's key player drama. And, when I look at the Eagles, last year there's a few leaks that came out. There's a major problem in that locker room, and I really feel like this is a canary in the coal mine with Maxey having that one-on-one with Joel. You got to show up on time. I'm a guy that spent some time in the Navy, and my number one pet peeve at work today as a leader of a business up here in New England is show up, be on time. And if you want to be taken seriously amongst your peers and the folks that you're supposed to be leading, being there is the first thing that you can do as a foundational piece of a human being and a leader. Joel's not it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's definitely not it. The conundrum, Doug, is whether you pull the plug when you know that it probably means 4 to maybe 7 years of really not
saying
being great.
That. Like, if they get eye draft pick and got one of these legit guys, like I don't think it's 4 to 7 years.
Think of it this
you
way,
don't
James.
Think, like, all right, Cooper Flagg is the top guy, but yeah. You don't think Cooper Flagg, McCain, and Maxey as a base could compete? They'd be a playoff team for sure.
Yeah, but playoff team's what they've been. Like,
but the Cooper Flagg has a chance to be the best player in basketball, man.
Doug, here's what I'd say: the Spurs just got Wemby. The Spurs have no chance to compete for a championship for about 4 to 5 years.
And crazy. Wemby's going to be the best player in basketball in a year. He's like right there already.
James, they have no chance. Michael Jordan didn't win a title a year, seven or eight?
But basketball's different now. I think that's crazy.
I will tell you, I'd give you, how can I frame this?
I'll
pay you $500. You pay me $100. Whether the Spurs win a title in the next 5 years?
No, I'm saying compete. We said compete for a title. You said compete. I'm talking about getting to a conference championship, getting to a finals. I think Wemby will be in a.
Hold on a second.
You said compete for a title. I can't guarantee they'll win a title. Well, it's hard to win a title.
I give you $500 to $100.
No, hold up. You're saying compete for a title, not win a title. There is a massive difference there. We know how hard it is to actually win it all. I'm saying they'll be in the thing, like have a real chance, and they might win one in the next 5 years.
Have the Sixers been in the thing? I'm just curious.
No, I'm saying I think Wemby will be in a conference final within the next 5 years and probably a finals.
I'm not going to make that bet. But
4 to 7 years is insane.
Yeah, I think you're crazy. Like, he's going to be the best player. How often does the best player in basketball not get to a conference finals? Joel Embiid's like the only example ever.
Very, very, very rare. All right, anyway, Doug, I hear your frustration. We're all frustrated. Give me a female character in a sports movie, Duck.
All right, so Kate Bosworth from Blue Crush. Great
I love
movie.
That answer.
Forgot
great
about story. That movie. That's,
you got
awesome
it, buddy.
Answer.
You got it, pal.
Awesome answer. Surfing is indeed a sport. Joe, have you ever surfed?
No, and it is.
It is. Man.
It is unquestionably a sport.
Of course it's a sport.
And it's not easy. Not easy at all. And some of those big waves... It's incredibly brave that they get out there.
Of course it is. Of course it is. All right, let's get to some audio here of Nick Sirianni. Oh, by the way, Zach Wheeler finished the second for MVP, if you missed that. So Chris Sale, James.
Not a surprise.
Did the voters get it right?
Yeah, I think. I mean, like, I would have preferred Wheeler, obviously, and the 30 more innings or whatever he pitched matters. Yep. But, I mean, Sale had a better ERA, a better strikeouts, more wins. Like, you know, he just had better underlying numbers. It was what it was.
No, I think it's reasonable. But it's a shame because Wheeler's been knocking on the door, man. That's his second top two, and he's had some other seasons, you know, near that. And he's an amazing, amazing, amazing pitcher. But anyway, Chris Sale gets it for 2024. Alec Boehm, there's talk of him maybe to the Royals. We'll see. A report out, you know, a couple days ago that links him to KC. I mean, my guess, John, is we'll get a lot of reports of him linked to different people. And it is notable that, you know, it doesn't feel like there's any refuting of Boehm on the block. So, you know,
how do you guys feel about that? You've been excited about the progress he's made as a defender, a lot more excited, I think, than I've been.
Bro, I want to trade him. I said I want to trade him.
I'd rather see Castellanos trade it. But I know you get more back for Boehm. So, you know.
You don't get anything back for Castellanos.
No.
Nada.
But yeah. Boehm, you have Boehm a problem is an attractive with piece. Boehm.
Well, I look.
You
got to
give the get.
The answer is yes.
Wow.
I have a problem with trading Boehm.
We've never talked about this.
Sure, we have. Yes, we have. Well, I mean,
he's made it very clear.
I would look. My mindset is I recognize that some change is likely to occur, and I do want to see the Phillies improve, but I want to be very clear about this. I don't want them to trade Boehm just because people are in a bad mood. If they can truly upgrade, great. But I mean, he's a pretty good player. And I think a lot of people, the way he finished, acting like he's not.
That's the root of this. What we saw down the stretch, not even down the stretch, the second half of the season, he was a problem. He melted down.
But Castellanos,
we can't have that.
But Castellanos melted down in the first half of the season and has multiple times now in his 3 years here. I mean, Boehm is a better player than Castellanos, period. He's a better player. He is.
I agree. And I think I have a lot of faith that he can put the bat on the ball. He's so talented and he's so young and everything, but there's something.
Something's off. I know.
And there's also what you get in return. Like, you can't trade Castellanos for nothing. You can trade Boehm for something.
I understand. I get it. All right, so if you want to weigh in on the Phillies, a couple storylines there, 215-592-9494. Let's get to the audio of Sirianni, because he was on our program on Tuesday, and there is just an issue that just never well, it hasn't gone away yet, and that's trying to score early. And often, I mean, racking up points in the first half. So we addressed that probably for the seventh time this season with Sirianni. Here's the exchange we had with Nick the other day on that issue. The offense starts slow, and then in the second half, it cranks it up. And I know you've been thinking about this. Why and how do you avoid that from continuing with the negative side early?
Yeah, like you said, it's never just one thing. It's the greatest team sport there is. You know, you win as a team, you lose as a team, you start slow as a team, you start fast as a team. And so there's many different things that go into it. We're busting our butts trying to make sure we do everything we can do as coaches to fix it. I know the players are doing everything that they can do to fix it because it's important that you start fast. It's important that you build leads, and you don't want to have these tight games and then blow them out. Just the same way, you don't want to get a big lead and then, you know, let the team get back into it. So it's just playing a full football game. I think the defense has definitely been doing that offensively. We got to put together a full game, you know, where we're starting fast. And we've had moments of that, you know, the last 2 weeks have not been. And I think that you're always going to think about your most recent games. But we've had moments where we've had some games go faster for us offensively. But we got to do that consistently, and we got to do that, you know, this upcoming week because we know we have a really good opponent coming up.
All right, so that was Nick Sirianni on Tuesday with us. Here's the deal. And, John, I turn to you and everyone at 215-592-9494. What explains the struggles? What to do about it? Because I feel like we've asked this to a number of our guests, and nobody seems to have the answer. And, by the way, the answer can't just be, well, just complete a pass. I mean, of course, just complete a pass. But, like, John, do you have any – the only theory I have, and I don't stand on strong ground on this, but the only theory I have that I lean into a little bit is I think Jalen runs more as the game goes on, and I think they're more effective when he does. And I think in the beginning of the game, they try to have him be a little bit more pocket-oriented, and he's a little bit less effective when he is. But that can't be all of it. Like, John, why does it happen – and if you're Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore, and I ask this to everyone at 215-592-9494, why and what to do with it? John, what are your theories and answers?
This is a theory, is that their first 15 is designed for probing and analyzing rather than scoring and success. You know, I have played on teams where our first 15 really... it was a slam dunk every time we would go down and we would score a touchdown. And that was, you know, book it.
So you're saying it's like a boxer trying to feel the other boxer out in the early rounds?
Yeah, it's possible that Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni and this offensive staff view their first 15 differently than those coaches who I played for. And they say, all right, you know what, we're gonna test the limits of this defense that we're facing this week because we don't know how they're going to treat this look from us when we go with this personnel grouping. How are they going to treat that? Who are they going to sub in when we bring in our giant young, you know, rookie wide receiver? Yep. Okay, now that we know that, we're gonna in the second half we've got a player where we can get him, and you know, maybe that's part of why it feels like things get out of hand in second halves because they have planned with good intel coming back into the first half, coming back into the first 15, and it's just the way that it's worked out.
Would you say don't do that? Yeah, don't do it anymore.
I don't know. I like the idea of, you know, floor it. Let's get out there. I'm an offensive player. I want to floor it from start to finish. You know, I like watching games like the Detroit Lions generate where it's the third quarter and you're wondering, like, can they really keep their starters in when they're in the 40s now? I love that. I love that sort of domination offensively. I think all these offensive players do. And I think that we have the talent to get to that point. And I wish that we would see more of that aggressiveness that leads us to that point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
If we'd start faster with the first 15 rather than probing, we could score more.
Here's another way, and this might just be ridiculously simplistic, but I'll state it because it has to go through some people's minds. The offensive coaches, namely Sirianni and Kellen Moore as a combo, probably Kellen Moore number one there, Sirianni two, they're bad game planners, they're great adjusters. Now, I'm not saying that's what it is, but I'm just saying that's what it looks like. I mean, that's what it looks like. Like, they stink early, and then there's some kind of adjustment, and then they don't stink.
It could be they're just great adjusters. You know, everyone has...
But how does a team with this personnel, how does a team, like, never score in the first... Seltzer, how do they never score in the first quarter? How?
I think the Richie's theory is the only thing that makes any sense. Like, I don't... No, obviously not. But at the same time, like, it's worked really well later in games. So... Would you rather they score early and don't score late? Like, I don't know if it's one or the other. I mean, obviously you want them to score throughout.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose, I'd rather they score a lot in the second half than in the first half if I had to choose.
Here's my guess. That theory John said, and I know Ross Tucker put out a similar theory, it strikes me like I don't want to say justifying, but backing your way into an answer. Like, you might be right, John, but you could be totally wrong.
It's the
wrong.
One that makes the most sense, though.
It.
Like, either that or, to your point, they are horrendous. And, like, obnoxiously bad at coming into games and scheming. Like,
what about Jalen? You know? What about Jalen should run more often early? Because, okay, would you guys agree, eye test? I don't have all the data in front of me. Would you agree, eye test, he runs more later in the game than first drive?
Yeah, but I think that's also because they never have long first drives. You know, like, he might run more if they could actually sustain a drive for more than three or four plays.
Maybe, but maybe he needs to run earlier on that third and six in the first drive.
Maybe.
And he's more likely to run on third and six in the third quarter when
you're
down by 4 points.
There's also something with Jalen where, and we've talked about this, where he starts slow. It feels like his entire, I know he had that second quarter thing, but it feels like it always takes him at least a drive or two to, like, get in any sort of rhythm to feel comfortable out there. So,
yeah. Well, Ray, do you have a theory?
Maybe he needs to grow up a little bit and start faster. That's important.
Ray, what's your theory?
I think they're trying to feel out the defense and what they can take.
John's
from them.
Theory.
Yeah, I agree with him. Yeah. I mean, I think they try a couple of different things and they, you know, they're just seeing what they're going to get because they do go rolling, you know, in some of these second halves.
Well, look, I'm really curious where you stand. I know a lot of people want to talk today about the Sixers, and that's good stuff. Well, it's bad stuff. It's a good topic to talk about. But I really am fascinated. What is your theory of why they start slow? And what can be done about it? This to me, it's like not since Ryan Howard couldn't hit the ball in the first 2 months of the season and then couldn't miss the ball in the final 4 months of the season have I seen anything in Philly sports so bizarre. They can't score early and then they roll late. Why?
And the amazing thing is the Rams are just as bad. You know, the Rams are worse.
Okay. Well,
that's the shocking thing.
All right. So what do you make of this with the Eagles? 2-1.